Acts 27, verse number 14, the Bible says this: "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I want to tell you something tonight. You've never been so far that there's no hope for you to be saved. I'm glad Jesus came seeking to save that which is lost. All you need to do is realize you need help and you need to be saved. And I promise you, Jesus will save you. He loves you, and He went to Calvary, shed His blood to be what it would take to redeem your never-dying soul so He could save you. He resurrected the third appointed day, came victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He conquered your sin on Calvary, conquered your death, conquered your hell so He could save you. Hey, your life may be in ruins, and you may think there is no hope, but I've got good news. His name is Jesus, and there is hope today. He wants to save you, longs to save you, and He'll save you if you call on Him and ask Him. But I'm not going to preach on that. But if you need to be saved, we'll stay all day and preach on it if that's what it takes. But I want you to notice a couple things as a way of introduction. I want you to notice these, put your mind in the frame of these passengers on this boat. Now, most of the passengers on this boat are prisoners going to a destination where they'll be sentenced, and many of them will die. And then there's those that work the boat, the seamen of the boat. And then there's the captain of the boat. And they're on this boat. And all of a sudden, this storm blows up. Now, I want you to put your mind on these passengers on this voyage. I want you to think about how they became excited when the phenomenon of the storm befell them. I mean, they're just sailing. It's clear waters. And the Apostle Paul's on this boat, and he warned the captain, don't set sail from Crete. But he did anyways. It looked nice. The weather looked good. Let's go. So out there on the boat, everything's going good. And then out of nowhere comes a storm that is so fierce they named it. You know, they only name them ones that destroy places. And so this storm's so bad they named it. Can you imagine how excited? Here all of a sudden they everything's going good and this storm comes. Now they're scurrying around and trying to tie themselves down to the mast and the things of the ship that won't break away. They're just trying to make sense and get somewhere safe because this storm has overtaken them. Right. Then I want you to imagine how exasperated they became with the course they traveled. We find in verses 15 down through verse 19 that they just let the thing run. It was out of their control. They set the sail up. They threw off anything that wasn't nailed down or tied down. They lightened the ship. They threw the sails up and said, this thing's out of our hands. And they said, we let her drive. Then they said, we let her run. And this thing was just going wherever it was going. It was out of their control. Can you imagine how exasperated they were? How just overwhelmed they were that this thing was much bigger than them. A lot of people have a fear of falling. And they wanted bungee jump to overcome that. Help yourself. I can't say I've ever done that. God gave me common sense. Because somebody made that bungee cord. And anything man touches is apt to fail. If God told me to do it, I'd do it. But He never told me, so I ain't going to do it. But I can't imagine when you fall off of whatever you're falling off, and before that bungee cord snaps you back. Can you imagine what that does to your spine? But before it snaps you back and you're just in a state of falling and you're out of control, there's got to be some fear. I mean, your destiny is not in your hands. You see, right now you may be sitting here thinking, well, I'll go to work and I'll pay my bills and I'll do this and I'll do this, and you think you're in control of your life. But a storm could come up and let you realize you're not in control of anything. That realization hit these fellas when they no longer controlled the ship. And then I want you to think about how exhausted they became and how they were filled with helplessness. Look there in verse number 20 again. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They said they couldn't tell the day from the night because the sun hadn't shined in so many days. They'd lost count. Now you got to understand, this ship wasn't like the mega ships they build today. This ship wasn't made of steel and concrete and all that they do today, and it didn't commission them for years to build this ship. This ship was made of wood. This ship was much lighter and much smaller than anything we have today. This storm got to where I'm certain the waves got much bigger than the length of this ship. And what would happen, this ship would hit a wave, and the bow of that ship would point toward the sky. And then on the other side of the wave, it would point straight down. And they're going up and down and flipping side to side and up and down and up and down and up and down. And they fought it as much as they could fight it. And finally, they got so exhausted, and they'd been doing this so long, they thought there was never going to be an end to it, and there was no hope for them. They just became exhausted with trying to hang on. Now I want to put that in perspective. A ship is always a picture of the church. It's always a picture of the church. One of my favorite songs about the old ship of Zion. And hallelujah, I got on the ship because the captain threw me a lifeline. And he's piloting in our ship toward home. One day we're going to anchor into glory. Are you listening? We're going to get off the old ship of Zion and be in heaven. What a blessing that's going to be. But you remember the excitement the day the phenomenon of salvation came into your life. You wasn't looking for God, but He came looking for you. You didn't know that there was any hope. You didn't know what was going on. You was just going through life and sailing through life. No hope. And all of a sudden, Jesus came. Let you know you was a sinner, but let you know He loved you. And He'd save you. And He'd change you. Remember how excited you was when you got saved? How excited you was when you realized your sins were cleansed and gone forever? How excited you was to know you truly had heaven as your home. How excited to know that He's going to prepare a place for you, and there's mansions in that city. How excited to know, hey, you're not going to hell. Remember those days? Then all of a sudden, the journey of your Christian life took hold. And things went well for a little while, and then storms started coming, and pressure started coming, and problems started coming. And all of a sudden, it seemed like your ship was going wherever it wanted to. It was out of control, and you didn't know what to do about it. You been there? Did you ever pray and no answer came? Did you ever look for hope and hope didn't come? Just seemed like things got worse instead of getting better. And just going through and going through, and you know you're saved. You know Jesus is in control, but you feel like your ship's out of control. Do you ever just get exhausted? Wondering when Jesus, I mean, He just sang that song, Jesus is Nigh, and you're sitting there today thinking, well, I wish He'd come by me. You ever get exhausted? Your hope begins to wane. If you're not careful, the pressures and storms of life will cause you to become numb. And I believe there's a lot of people sitting in our churches across this country and across the world, saved on their way to heaven, but the pressures of life and the storms have hit them and hit their families and attacked them so much, and they've just about lost hope. They're numb. With God's help this morning, I want to preach on spiritual numbness. Spiritual numbness. You know, when you become spiritually numb, there's a sense of weariness. You feel like you just can't anymore. Do you ever just feel like you can't anymore? I just can't read my Bible anymore. I just can't pray anymore. I just can't go to church anymore. I just can't sing a song anymore. You ever just feel that way? You get numb. You just feel like you can't. You just feel like, I just can't. You know, maybe down inside somewhere there's a little want to, but I just can't. Do you ever get there? Spiritually numb. Just feel like you can't. You just can't put one more foot in front of the other. The storms have just hit you, stripped you, and sucked you of all spirituality. You just feel numb. Well, I've been there. Just numb. I just can't. I just can't do it anymore. Did you ever just get so tired physically that just lifting your hand, you didn't know if you could do it? Taking another step, you didn't know if you could do it. You was just so wrung out. Well, you can become that way spiritually. And can I say it's a bad place when you get to the point where you don't think you can anymore? Can I say the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yeah, old things are passed away. Behold, all things come new. Your flesh may not, but your inner man still can. Y'all know the rule around here, mind the Lord. I don't repeat the second rule. We only got two. The second rule is we don't say can't. But I want to tell you, you can face so much in this life, you can get to the point where you'll say, I just can't. You have a sense of weariness. When you get spiritually numb, you have a sense of worthlessness. You feel like you don't matter. You come to church and you see other people being blessed, and you're sitting there just numb, thinking, why ain't he coming in my pew and blessing me? People stand up, testify, oh, God did this for me this week, and you're sitting there, why didn't God do anything for me? And if you're not careful, you'll start thinking, well, I really don't matter. You ever been there? You ever feel like God loves other people more than he loves you? You ever feel like God's got some he blesses, but he forgot about you? You just sense of worthlessness. Can I help you with something? It took the same amount of blood that Jesus shed to save you as it did anybody else. And can I say you, Jesus loves you as much as he loves everybody else. Jesus doesn't love you any less than he loves anybody else. But if you're not careful, when you get numb, this little thing that weighs about 7 pounds in your skull, it'll start playing tricks on your body and on your mind, and it'll start telling you things. And if you're not careful, you'll start listening to it. And it'll tell you, you don't matter. You're not worth much. You know how much you're worth? Jesus said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus said, your soul is worth more than all this world and its riches. That's how much you're worth. You're worth so much that God bankrupt heaven to save you. God gave the very best that he had, his only begotten son, to die for you so you might have life. You are worth more than the world. You're worth all of heaven to Jesus. But when you're numb, you don't feel that way. This world will play that on you. This world will say, because you don't look a certain way, or you don't act a certain way, or you don't drive a certain vehicle, or you don't live on a certain street, or you're not of a certain race, or you're not of this, then you don't matter. But you do to Jesus. He's no respecter of persons. Can I say this? When you're spiritually numb, you'll get a sense of why. Why? Why is this happening to me? Did you ever ask God that? God, why is my family going through this? God, why am I going through this? God, why is this sickness befalling me? Why, God, am I facing this? Can I say this? Why not? The truth of the matter is, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, sin came into this world, and sin affects everybody. What makes you so special that you shouldn't get sick or you shouldn't have problems? There's nobody I've ever met that's not had problems. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Everybody's got problems. Some people just choose to conceal them. Other people choose to give them to Jesus. And then there are others who ask, why? Why is this happening to me? When you get numb, you'll ask that question. When you get numb, you'll ask, why are these things getting worse? Do you ever think you've taken the worst of it, then it gets worse? I felt bad the other day. We went up to see Sydney, and it was 14 below zero. And I look over on the opposite side of the highway, there's a guy changing a tire. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. That was terrible. Now, I didn't turn around and help him. I'm thinking, God be with him. I did ask God to help him. And I hope one of them service vehicles pulled up behind him and helped him. Can I say? It made me think, no matter how bad it could get worse. If you're not careful, you'll start asking, why are things getting worse? When you get numb, you'll ask, why hasn't God intervened? I mean, we hear all these great stories about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace and how God showed up and God did the miraculous and how the children of Israel get to Red Sea and God rolls it back and they walk across on dry ground and God drowns all of Pharaoh's army. And we hear how God delivers, God delivers, God delivers. You listen to Joel Osteen, he tell you every day's a good day and every day's a Friday and nothing bad's going to ever happen to you. And then you listen to Jimmy Swaggart's boy and he'll tell you, you give him 1,000 and God's going to give you 10,000. And you listen to all this stuff and everybody's being blessed, and you watch some of these feel-good churches and they're all jumping up and down, everything's wonderful, and you're thinking, why doesn't God show up for me? What can I say? God's always right on time. And there are a lot of things a lot of people are doing to try and get God's attention, and God's not within a million miles of it. But when you're numb spiritually, you'll ask why. You'll feel weary. You'll feel worthless. When you get numb spiritually, you'll get to the point you'll say, what's the use? You'll say, I can't change anything. What's the use? You ever been there? What's the use? Why even go? Why even open my Bible? Can I say there was a time in my life I'm not proud of, years ago, that I'd read my Bible every day, but I didn't comprehend anything because I was numb. They were just words on a page. Matter of fact, it might as well be me looking at it like this, upside down, without my glasses, and all that is ink on a page. Couldn't tell you a word. When you get numb, that's how the Bible comes to you. Preaching doesn't help you. It just goes in one ear and out the other. You'll say, what's the use? What's a bad state to be in? What's the use? When you're numb, you don't see beyond your nose. I'll tell you the use. Who's got Hannah? Give me Hannah. Come here, baby. You've been cooped up long enough. Come on. Hi, baby. How are you? You want to walk around? Here's the use. There's the use. There's the use. My football playing buddy's back there. There's the use. Squirt back there. There's the use. This little fella right here, don't even know he's in church. He's looking at Bella. That's the use. Aiden and Lexi's the use. Natalie's the use. Fred, and I'm not allowed to call him Bird anymore, Owen, they're the use. Guido back there, Colton, my buddy, loves orange. Little Addie, that's the use. Lucas, that's the use. They're the use. You see, what you don't understand is they're watching you. She don't know anything about why we come here. But she knows some things about worship. She knows when people sing, it's important. If you watch her every now and then, she'll raise her hand. She don't know why she's doing it. She just sees other people doing it. She's already learning. She's learning when we come here, this is important.
She's learning when people come to this altar and pray, that's important. She's learning that when Brother Doug's preaching, that's important. She'll say Brother Doug every now and then while I'm preaching. She's watching. She's just seeing all you watch. She knows there's something about when he's speaking. That's important. And when you get numb and throw in the towel, you're telling her it's not important enough. You baby. Go to daddy. You get numb spiritually. You ask, what's the use? And then you get to this point. When you get numb spiritually, you'll start wallowing. You'll wallow in some places in your life. You'll wallow in self-pity. You'll get out your spiritual thumb and start sucking it. God don't love me. I got it so bad. Well, next time we got a nursing home service, go with Brother Lawrence down there. You want to see folks that would love to get to come to church. Go over to VA hospital and see some that went to battle for our freedom and look at what it's cost them. You don't have it that bad, friend. But the problem is you just look at you. Can I say 90% of the pastor's counseling job is to get people quit looking at themselves? What? No wonder the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But you'll start wallowing in self-pity, and you start feeling sorry for yourself, and start feeling sorry for your situation, and start feeling sorry. And I'm not saying your situation isn't bad. And I'm not saying it's not hard. And I'm not saying that it's easy to get up and be faithful and do the things God expects you to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you're numb, we tend to wallow in self-pity. We want to blame everybody else for our problems. You know, it's old Brother Eddie's fault. We'll find somebody. Might as well be him. Can I say sometimes God puts us through what we put through so he can get maximum glory? And how much better for him to get maximum glory than you going through a furnace and come out on the other side? I mean, it's one thing when he comes by and he touches you. It's another thing when he deserts you, or you so think. He lets you go through the furnace so other people can see him in the furnace with you. But see, when you're wallowing in self-pity, you don't see that. All you see is your problems. It's like this handkerchief being my problem. And again, I'm not minimizing your problem. Your problem's a problem. But when you got it this close and that's all you see, you don't see God and what he can do for you. And when you're wallowing in that self-pity, guess who you're not seeing? Him. All you're seeing is you. Can I say selfishness is the essence of sin? And selfishness is the enemy of God. Dependence is what God wants out of our life, not selfishness. When you're wallowing, you'll wallow in pride. When you're in pride, you'll never consider that you might be in the wrong. There's people all the time, you preach and you preach and you preach and you preach and you preach, and they're thinking, boy, I know he's getting them. And the preacher, you know, is just preaching the message, but God's trying to get the one that's saying it's somebody else. Got so much pride. It's not me. Who me? I'm perfect. I got a halo. There's some people that act that way. When you're going through problems, you'll wallow in self-pride. You'll say, I'll never. You better never say you'll never. I'm not going to let them get their way. I'm not going to let the preacher get his way. The preacher is preaching. He's just a mailman. You're arguing with the Holy Ghost. We're saying, I'm never going to go apologize to somebody because they're wrong. You might be wrong. You'll wallow in self-pity and self-pride, and then you'll wallow in self-pain. You'll focus on your pain, and you'll not see the pain of others. There are people hurting here today. They're not wallowing in their pain. But I found, Miss Mercer, a lot of times people who've got a paper cut think that their paper cut is far worse than somebody who's got some real pain, somebody whose husband just walked out on them. somebody who just lost a loved one, somebody who's been diagnosed with something dreadful, and they'll wallow in that pain, that paper cut, rather than seeing anybody else's pain. See, when you're spiritually numb, everything of God bounces off of you, and you just exist. Can I say there's nothing worse for a Christian to just exist? Christians are exhorted to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Christians are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit of God. Christians are exhorted to have a song. Christians are exhorted to be a witness. Christians are exhorted to be a light. Christians are exhorted to be the salt of the earth. Christians are to be the ambassadors of Christ on earth, pointing folks to Jesus. But when you're numb, you're not those things. So how can we overcome spiritual numbness? A friend, I don't know who you are, but if you've been saved any length of time, you're subject to become numb. And the longer you're saved, the more subject you are to become numb. Because Satan wants to make you numb, because when you're numb, you're not having an impact on somebody else. So how do we overcome our spiritual numbness? Can I say, first of all, you got to recognize there's a problem. A lot of times we get numb because we haven't dealt with a problem. And we let that problem go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. All of a sudden we're numb. Where is that? I just can't. And we get numb because we won't recognize there's a problem. Can I say this? You'll never help somebody till they know they need help. And the Lord can't help you till you realize that there's a problem. And so you got to recognize there's a problem. The moment you start feeling a little bit cold towards God, you need to realize, hey, there's a problem. I need to do something about this because I don't like the way I feel. You got to recognize there's a problem. Then you got to realize this very important thing. You are needed. The church needs you. Your brothers and sisters need you. Jesus needs you. He don't have to use you, but He chooses to use you. He needs you. He needs you because you're part of His body. And He wants you to be in subjection so that you can represent Him in the right light. You're needed. Your family needs you. Your lost family needs you not to be spiritually numb. They need to see what Jesus can do in a life. You have to realize you are needed. You're not only loved, you're needed. You know, most people, that's what they want. They want to feel needed. Well, in Christ, you are needed. In the church, you are needed. You're loved and you are needed. You are accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to change. God will change the things He don't like. But you are loved and accepted in the Beloved. There's no other place in the world where you are more accepted or more needed than in God's house. What a blessing to be able to come to God's house. You got to recognize there's a problem. Then you got to realize you're needed. Can I say, when you're numb and in that state of numbness, God can't use you and you're not being a blessing to the church. I don't know if you paid attention. I wasn't gawking or watching, but I just seen during the song service, there was people coming to the altar, and then there were people going to people that had been on the altar and comforting and all that. God wants to use you that way. Might be somebody really carrying a load. And when you're spiritually in tune with God, God may have you go and help bear their load. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You are needed. There is somebody you can minister to and be a help to and be an encouragement to. My dear friends, we do need one another. That's why God gave us one another. You need to realize you're needed. You say, I don't do much around the church. You're needed. You're needed more than you know. And there are things for you to do. You can't pray. You can't be a light. You can't be a witness. You can't invite folks to come. Hey, you can't take a part. You can, because you're needed. How you overcome the numbness? You got to recognize there's a problem. You got to realize you're needed. And then you've got to repent for any doubt or slothfulness you've allowed to come into your life, because it's caused you to be numb. Listen. One will never find help or relief until they turn from their paths and return to God. Repentance is a turning point. It's turning from the state you're in and turning to God. And when you're willing to turn to God and give it to Him, then He'll intervene.
then he'll help you. Then he'll strengthen you. Even if he don't remove it, he'll strengthen you to be able to handle it. You get numb. I've been numb because I left God out of the equation. And then let me say this. You're going to overcome your numbness. You've got to recognize there's a problem. You've got to realize you're needed. I think often of all the folks that we've had in the church that have left. If we had them all now, we'd already had to build a new building. They're needed. This Hope Ministry blows out. We're going to really need some folks. Folks are needed. Then you got to repent, tell God you're sorry for not trusting him and for allowing yourself to go down them paths that caused you to be numb in the first place. And then lastly, you got to receive God's will regardless of its requirements or ramifications. Sometimes people end up being numb because they wouldn't do what God told them to do in the first place. You got to receive God's will regardless of its requirements or ramifications. God just may want you to move up a little bit. Or God may want you to step out and do something grand for him. God may want you to go and bury a hatchet somewhere. God may want you to go and get something made right somewhere. But see, when you turn from your path and turn to God, you're ready to do whatever God wants. And whatever he wants, not my will, but thy will be done. And I promise you, friend, when you get to the point that you've returned to God and you've received his will regardless of its requirements or ramifications, things will pick up in your life. Turn with me over Psalms 39. This is what I wanted to preach on. I didn't want to preach on it, and he didn't let me preach on it, but he just told me to have you turn there. This is what will happen when you do the things that will end your numbness. Psalm 39. I read this verse the other day, and it really blessed me and helped me. I pray it helps you. Look what he says in verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. You see, when you return to God and you receive his will, automatically something kicks in your spirit. And you start thinking about the goodness of God again. You start meditating on how great he is and how awesome he is. You start singing songs about him again. And your mind is now geared and you're musing on the things of God and you're thinking on the things of God. And all of a sudden there starts a flame burning in your heart. It melts the numbness, friend. And it brings you to the point where you're ready to be all that God would have you to be. Would to God our hearts would burn within us. And they will if we muse on the things of God. Now listen. I know this morning's message has been a little different. But I know all of us are subject to get in a spiritual funk. And if you're not careful, that'll lead to you becoming numb. You may be there today. And I dare say God gave me this message because some are there. I want to say, Jesus is right where you left him. He cares. And he wants to help you today. You see, the whole time you're numb, you're not letting him in, and nothing hurts him more than one of his children not letting him in. Why don't you let him back in today? Why don't you let him cure your numbness, bring feeling back to your life, bring purpose back to your life? Why don't you let him help you today? If you let him help you, he might use you to help others. My dear friend, there's nothing more gratifying than being where God wants you to be and being in a place to where you can help somebody else. And I was talking to Brother Rocky the other day. He said, people sitting in the pew get all puffed up and don't realize the greatest thing you can ever do is help somebody else for Jesus' sake. And he's right. That's the greatest thing you can do is just point somebody to Jesus and see them embrace him. It's nothing greater than that, friend. Are you helping others? Or are you numb today? Why don't you let Jesus back in? Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. A lot of what you've heard today,
didn't make much sense. But there's something deep down inside you know is missing. And you're here today and your heart's starting to feel a little funny, and there's something in your mind saying, I need what that preacher said. I need to be saved. But you're fearful. What will all these people think? I'll tell you what they're going to think. They're going to think, hallelujah. Because they once sat where you're sitting. And they know what it's like to have that emptiness. But they also know what it's like to have that emptiness filled with the one who created you. And his name is Jesus. And friend, he loves you. And he orchestrated, whether you understand this or not, he orchestrated an event in your life and allowed you to be here today. And he did so because he wants you to know that he loves you and he wants to change your life. And all you have to do is be willing to accept him. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. We're going to invite those that have been saved that are numb, come and let Jesus back in. We're going to invite those that are not numb to come and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And maybe we're going to invite those that may be here today and they're not saved. We're going to invite you to come. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Say, preacher, I don't know how to be saved. If you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Friend, all you got to do is take one step toward Jesus. He'll help you take the rest. If you're tired of your life, if you're tired of the sin and the shame, if you're tired of the emptiness, my dear friends, there's help for you today. All you got to do is come and let Jesus change your life. Let's all stand, Brother Ray. You come, get a song of invitation. While they're getting a song, let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. God, I'm glad even though it may look like all hope that we should be saved is taken away, I'm glad there's hope in Jesus. And God, today, I don't know why you gave me this message other than to think there's folks who may be numb today. Lord, it's easy to get that way. Oh, the storms of life and the cares of this world, Lord, it caused you to drift for long. You don't even know how you got so far away. You get numb. And God, there may be somebody like that here today. Maybe folks that come every Sunday, sit in a church pew, but have grown cold and numb towards the things of God. God, I pray today they'd open up their heart. Lord, let you back in. And God, you do something great in their life. God, there may be saved folks here today, just got a burden to pray. There may be saved folks here today, Lord, just seeking your will. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would bless them and help them. And then, God, we fear there may be some here today not saved. Lord, I pray you give them that measure of faith to step out and come. We can take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, help them realize the life and the path they're headed down ends in destruction. But there is a way. You're the way that leads to life. God, I pray you'd work in this invitation. Speak to hearts. Get glory to your name. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.